Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth.com/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%. Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. So glad you're joining us today, and thank you for all the engagement, the readership that you do on our great news site, Just the News. We've got you covered 24/7, and today we got you covered with two big interviews. Two interviews are going to really make you think. We're going to be thinking global, going to be thinking security at home. Joining us today, one of the great conservative voices anywhere in the globe, and of course, the architect of the Brexit movement in Great Britain, Nigel Farage, is with us. Oh, we have a lot to talk about. Boris Johnson in a little bit of trouble, maybe a lot of trouble in Great Britain. Our conservatives and the general populace tiring of his restrictions on COVID while he partied at night. Sounds like he may. We're going to ask Nigel about that. And also, we're going to give Nigel the American looking glass. He's going to make us look at ourselves and say, how does the rest of the world look at the United States right now on Joe Biden's watch? I want to ask that question. That's going to be a fun one. And then we've got an amazing member of Congress, Austin Scott, here to talk about things. We are closely watching, all of us are closely watching the events in Eastern Europe between Russia and Ukraine, Russia and Kosovo. Instability, concern, heartburn. President Biden had a very difficult day yesterday in his press conference. He suggested maybe a minor incursion by Russia wouldn't be all that bad. Today, the Ukraine foreign minister went nuts at that, saying that was the wrong signal to say. And Joe Biden, the American president, had to grovel and come out with his White House and say, oh, I didn't mean that. Any incursion, any invasion is bad. Sorry about that. The bad messaging, the bad foreign policy, the FUPAs that continue to occur in the Biden administration and foreign policy are devastating. And we're going to ask Congressman Austin Scott about that. Some very important developments. Eastern Europe is a tinderbox right now. You know, most of the people I'm talking to, they're split. Some think an invasion is likely. Some think it's unlikely that the saber rattling is really what Putin wants to accomplish. But whatever the case is, none of us, can be comfortable with the scenario we're in. And remember, for 4 years, despite all the Russia collusion allegations, all the bogus stuff that came out, we didn't have these sort of problems with Russia during the Donald Trump years. I think that that is pretty significantly provable from the historical record that we now have. It's pretty interesting. Now, we got two great interviews. I want to get to those right away. Nigel Farage, Congressman Austin Scott, we're going to get to him in just a second. But before we do, I want to take a 30-second step back on a couple of stories that we had this morning on the website. I think they were really important when it comes to election integrity. First off, Joe Biden and his federalization of election laws. It failed last night, late last night. If you were on Just the News, you saw it in real time because we had several breaking news alerts. First, they failed to pass the legislation. Then they failed to pass the filibuster. And yes, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema did what they said they were going to do. They held the line. They rejected the filibuster. And as a result, the federalization of elections that Democrats and Joe Biden want to take is dead in the water right now. Now, as we step back from that, that doesn't mean that the challenges in our American society about elections are resolved. I'm going to give you one sign of that. There's a new poll out today from Scott Rasmussen, my good friend, and one of the great pollsters in America, respected by all sides of the political aisle. And here's what it found. More voters, 61%, believe that former President Donald Trump was legitimately elected in 2016 than those that believe President Biden, only 57%, was legitimately elected in 2020. Now, here's the thing about that. 61 and 57%, not that much difference. Neither one of them are something I'd go home and be bragging to my family about. 40, 43, 39 to 43% of Americans don't believe the last two presidential election results. That has to change for our constitutional republic and our democracy to thrive and get back and create trust. Yes, more people are voting, more people are registering, but more people are distrusting the outcome. That can't be good. Even if there were no problems in the elections, which we now know isn't true, we can't have this sentiment. It is corrosive to the long-term stability of this great democracy, the greatest constitutional republic the world has ever created. We can fix this, folks. This is not rocket science. And this debate about election integrity can't end with the killing of this bill yesterday. There still has to be those elements to beat back efforts at cheating and improve ways to make it easier for people to vote without making it easy to cheat. That is the real goal. Easier to vote, hard to cheat. I say it all the time, but it has to be. It has to be continued. The march towards better election integrity has only begun. It's been happenstance. It has not been complete. And all of those, Democrats, Republicans, and independents, they have an obligation to fix those polling numbers. It's not okay that 40% of Americans don't believe the last outcome of the last two elections. We can't function that way long term. We've got to get a grip on that. And I really want to point that out. It's, to me, the most remarkable of a series of polls that we've seen on this issue. We've been talking about that a lot. On the cancel culture front, Greg Piper does a great job for us. We've had him on the show. You know what he does. Hey, he has an incredible story about what I think is the nuclear option of cancel culture for doctors. An unbelievable tale of a doctor in Maine who's been suspended and ordered to go undergo a neuropsychological evaluation because some of the claims this doctor has made actually match those by mainstream scientists, but Maine doesn't like them, and the regulators there are punishing this doctor. Question for you and I is this a bridge too far? Read the story, make up your own mind. And finally, we talked about and we covered this in real time all through the weekend. We had breaking news alerts day and night, way into the wee hours of the morning. Sunday, the horrible incident at the synagogue in the Dallas area, a man taking hostage a rabbi and three of his congregation members, demanding that one of the most hideous terrorists in American history, the most famous Al-Qaeda female in American history, a woman named Siddiqui, be freed from prison. That was that man's goal, his intention. And there are big questions how he got into the country. He has a 20-year red flag on him about extremism in Britain. And somehow, despite those red flags, besides the multiple security concerns about this man, he walks into the airport in New York and gets into this country. Somebody has some explaining to do. Ron Johnson, Chuck Grassley, some of the House members asking that question. But in the meantime, we have another question. There is more than just this man calling for the release of Siddiqui, the woman a lot of people call the Lady Al-Qaeda. There are several mainstream Islamic groups that have been arguing for her release, portraying her as a political prisoner. Now listen, she's convicted of grabbing arms and trying to kill some of our soldiers. Her rhetoric talked about horrific terror attacks on America. I think history shows that this was an extremist properly convicted in prison. But there are these groups, many of them in America, arguing for her release. And where do they get their support from? Well, according to my good colleague here in Washington, here at Just the News, Nick Balassi, people like members of the squad in Congress. Yep, Congresswoman Tlaib, Congresswoman Omar, they have participated in events and supported groups that are backing the call to get Aifa Siddiqui, Lady Al-Qaeda, released from prison. When you step back and under, how does a guy radicalize, get into a synagogue and do what he does? Well, you have to wind it back to the groups calling for this woman's release and also to the congresspeople who give legitimacy to these groups and these arguments. Great story by my colleague Nick Balassi. Check those out on Just the News. All right, folks, we are going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to start with Nigel Farage, one of the great conservative minds in all of the world, the architect of Brexit. He has a lot to say about Boris Johnson and his tough scandal in Britain, and about our own President Joe Biden and how the world views the greatest democracy, America, right now, the superpower that America is. Does it still have that shining gleam on it? It doesn't sound like it, but we'll ask Nigel Farage. And then Congressman Austin Scott, two great interviews. You're going to learn a lot. Join us in just a second. We'll be right back after this commercial break. You know what, folks? Stress may be why you can't lose weight. If you've got moderate to high stress like I do, a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement called Lean could be your solution. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on blood sugar, which can cause your body to store excess fat. Stress can also slow your metabolism, which fuels weight gain, and you know all about stress eating and sugar cravings, right? Now the good news. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, and keep your appetite under control. Now, if your life is a bit stressful like mine and you want to lose weight, add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise lifestyle. Now get 15% off and free shipping at TakeLean.com. That's TakeLean.com and enter the promo code JustNews15. That's the promo code JustNews15 at TakeLean.com. One more time, TakeLean.com. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and it's not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. Joining me right now, one of the most respected voices in conservatism all across the world, the architect of the Brexit movement in Great Britain, and the only man in British history to win two national elections with two different parties. Joining me right now, Nigel Farage. Nigel, great to have you on.
John, a pleasure to be back on with you. It really is.
It's an honor. I want to ask you about this. You have so much going on in your country. You've got Boris Johnson and the COVID scandals. And then you have a member of parliament today who switched parties without going through the process he always deemed to be the correct process, which is let the voters decide. You're thinking about the state of politics in Great Britain.
Well, you see, Brexit was this amazing moment when the ordinary people, the ordinary men and women of the country rose up peacefully against their establishment and said, you're taking us in the wrong direction. We want to turn around by 180 degrees. And okay, we voted for it. They tried to stop it, beat them again, and we won. And the hope was, in getting our independence back from Europe, in becoming a self-governing nation again, in doing all these things, the hope was that a new kind of politics would emerge. Sadly, I regret to say, I had two burning ambitions over 25 years. The first was I wanted to get the independence of our nation back, and the second was I wanted to change politics for good. I wanted to change the political culture. Well, I won the first part of the battle.
Right.
The second part of the battle is still work in progress.
The last 24 hours shows that, right? Yeah.
Well, it does. I mean, when you get elected, I mean, this man got elected. The man we're talking about, a chap called Christian Wakeford.
Right.
He got elected. He got elected in the north of England in an old Labour socialist constituency, but a constituency that had voted for Brexit, all right? Working class Britain voting for Brexit, and the Labour Party couldn't accept Brexit. And they voted him in on a Conservative ticket. And because the Conservative Party are now struggling, you know, to try and save his own career, he switched sides to Labour. Well, I can tell you that in the last 30 years of British politics, there have been 23 people who have changed sides, right? And only two of them have put themselves forward to the electorate simultaneously to ask for a vindication of their decision.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that both of them were UKIP. Both of them, when I led the party, were Conservative MPs who switched to UKIP. And I said, guys, if you're going to join me in the House of Commons as UKIP, I insist you put yourself up before the public. And they both did, and they both won. And I, you know, I really hope, John, that in doing this, I brought a new standard to public life.
Yeah.
But as I say, sadly, it's still work in progress.
Yeah, that message that was sent by the populace has still got to seep in a little bit more. Boris Johnson has been the face of that hard lockdown COVID strategy, and now the face of do what I say, not what I do. How big of trouble is he in with his the latest scandal and his sort of hypocrisy on COVID lockdowns?
I remember back in 1999, which seems like a long time ago now, the first day that I was elected as a member of the European Parliament, and I was one of the first lessons I was taught by somebody who was much older than me was that lawmakers cannot ever be seen to be lawbreakers. If you're the ones setting the rules by which the rest of the population has to abide, you cannot shirk those rules yourself because, you know, you are responsible.
Of course.
And this is Boris's problem. Boris's personality problem is that he's a cheerleader, not a leader. He's very, very good. You know, rather like getting up before a football game and, you know, waving around and getting the crowd cheering and making everybody happy and, hey, we're going to win and it's going to be great. He's really good at all of that. But when it comes to being a leader, he doesn't always lead by example. And he's allowed number 10 Downing Street, you know, our sort of equivalent of the White House. He's allowed that, since he's become Prime Minister, to become rather like a university drinking den. I mean, reports that people had mini fridges under their desks.
Unbelievable.
And that everyone was... Now, look, don't misunderstand me. I like a drink.
Yep.
I like to have a good time. I like to party. And, you know, I've always... You know, given the right opportunity, taking younger people out, and you take them out for, you know, bite to eat or a drink in the pub, whatever. But you don't drink in the office. Because if you drink in the office, it's the beginning of total indiscipline. And sadly, Johnson has overseen a culture where those that were making the rules were constantly having get-togethers in direct contravention of what they were telling the rest of the country. And Johnson himself attended some of these events. And when he gets caught, rather than putting his hands up and saying, I'm sorry, I have sinned.
Yes.
Because, you know,
that would be the natural thing to do, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. And also, our human emotion is we forgive sinners, because that's actually part of what our Christian heritage is. And we all know that we have those sins within us. And if I'm being honest, John, I mean, most of us break the lockdown rules.
Yeah, you know? I think that's probably right.
I mean, you know, was I not going to see my mum for 2 years? I mean, come on.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? And I think if he'd said, look, do you know what, guys? We've been working under huge pressure. You know, it was the biggest health crisis to face the country for 100 years. And I admit, on Thursday and Friday nights, we let off steam and had a drink. And we shouldn't have done, and I apologize. But who among you watching or listening to this broadcast, you know, whoever of you is without sin, please cast the first stone.
Yes, cast the first stone, right? Yeah.
Instead of that, Boris says, it didn't happen. It didn't happen at all. And then when it proved it did happen, yes, it did happen, but I thought it was a work event.
Yeah.
Or no one told me it was. He said the other day, no one told me it was against the rules. Well, hang on, matey.
It was his rules, right?
You were setting the rules.
Somebody missed that line, yeah.
So what actually happened in the country is millions of people have said, you know, you told us to behave in one way, you behaved in another, and the hell with you.
Yeah.
And so he really actually, reputationally, this isn't just a short-term upset. This is, I believe, this is a fundamental breakdown of trust. And as such, I think his career is now very time-limited.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's going to be very interesting to watch that dynamic. Last question, because I think America's in one of those looking glass moments. Most Western foreign policy has been dictated by the last 30, 40 years by the Thatcher-Reagan doctrine of peace through strength. Joe Biden has had these problems, whether it's Afghanistan's withdrawal, which shocked the world, or today having to be rebuked by Ukraine because he suggested in his press conference, if the Russians go there, it's just going to be a minor thing. How does the rest of the world look at America under the Joe Biden presidency?
I hesitate to answer that question honestly, because I don't want to give offense to your listeners. And I don't want you to think, because I am the most pro-American Brit you'd ever meet.
Right.
I'm almost mid-Atlantic. But I'm going to be frank with you.
Yep.
But I'm going to be, well, yeah, I mean, hey, I was working for American companies 40 years ago.
That's so right.
My relationship with America goes back.
It is. It's very real.
Century. But I'm sorry to say that in terms of its presence on the international stage, and what it says as the leader of the free world being taken seriously, America right now is no better than a bad joke.
Wow. That is a powerful statement. There was all this talk he was going to reboot those relations. But it seems like allies have a little bit of pepsit with this president. They don't know where he's going or whether he even has a plan.
Wow.
Is that an honest perspective that you hear from other world leaders?
Come on, we're exactly a year on from the inauguration,
right? Right.
Remember what he said, America's back,
yeah.
America's back. And he came to the G7 in the west of England back in June.
That's right.
And they all applauded him and cheered him.
They had
him
the high fives going,
wonderful?
Yeah.
Yeah, that nasty man from New York's gone, we've now got this great guy. And I mean, when you really think about it, and all right, you know, I know if we go back 200 years plus, the UK and America had some difficulties, but let's sort of move on. You know, I mean, frankly, 1812 is forgiven, I think. But, you know, frankly, since 1917, since the First World War, basically, the UK and America have been together.
They have.
Not every, but virtually every conflict, we've been side by side, including Afghanistan, where, by the way, the proportionate spending of money,
yep,
giving of troops, deaths and injuries of troops was an exact proportion to the size of our nations.
Yeah.
All right, we were there side by side with you guys for 20 years. Nobody wanted it to go on forever, but there had to be the right way and the right moment to leave. And for Biden to unilaterally withdraw the biggest force, the American force, without even referring to your closest allies in the world since 1917. And when the British Prime Minister calls to have an urgent conversation not to return that phone call for 30 hours, how on earth could we trust America again? How on earth can NATO, frankly, continue to operate? And is it any wonder, given that situation and given that collapse of leadership in the free world, that Putin is now taunting us from the borders of the Ukraine?
Yeah, the two events are related. As much as we try to, the media here tries to obscure it, we embolden Putin. And I think does the pipeline also play into that, the Nord Stream pipeline? We kind of propped up his economy too, didn't we?
Well, I mean, here's the funny thing. Don't want to accuse Trump of, oh, Trump's a Russian puppet.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Actually, the truth is, it was Mrs. Merkel. It was Mrs. Merkel. It was Germany. It was the European Union. You know, here's Biden threatening sanctions on Russia if they act. Well, if we put sanctions on Russia, the whole of German industry would close down overnight. So we've literally outclassed and outplayed by Putin at every twist and turn of this. He holds all the cards.
He does.
We, frankly, at the moment, have very few.
Yeah, such a very powerful point. Nigel, I could talk to you all day, but I know how busy you are. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to get you back on real soon.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after this message. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Folks, eat stress-free this spring. How? With Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. That's great for a busy person like me. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your Springtown goals. Why do I use Factor Meals? Well, it's real simple. I'm busy, but I want to eat healthy. And if it only takes you 2 minutes, I'm all in on healthy eating. And the best part is that Factor Meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you got to do is simply heat and savor the good stuff. Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. I love asparagus. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50 and use the code justnews50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That code, one more time, is justnews50 at factormeals.com/justnews50. What are you going to do? You're going to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's a great deal. One more time. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50. Use the promo code justnews50 for half off your first order. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. As promised, a very special guest, a man who's making a lot of waves in Congress these days. Joining me right now is Congressman Austin Scott from the great state of Georgia. Congressman, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks for having us.
It's an honor to have you on. So much is going on in your state. I want to go back a little bit to a moment a week ago, because I think it might be one of the defining moments of the Biden presidency. The speech he gave in Atlanta saying, if you don't agree with the way I want to vote, you're all a bunch of racists. What was your take on the president's speech?
Well, there's a lot going on in the world, John. I mean, you know, you got Russia and Ukraine, you've got Afghanistan that they've done everything they can to push out of the news. And obviously, we still have a lot of men and women over there, the families that fought with, and in some cases, the families of people who died with U.S. soldiers. And so he's doing anything and everything he can to change the narrative from his failures, both internationally on those issues, as well as what's happening at the gas pump and the grocery store with inflation. So he comes to Georgia and he talks about Georgia voting. And what he refuses to acknowledge, John, is that in every election up to and until this last one, Georgia has had about 3.9 million voters.
Right.
Going all the way back to the last Obama election and the last governor's election and Trump versus Clinton, we had 3.9 million voters in the state of Georgia. This last election, we had 4.9 million voters.
Doesn't sound like suppression to me.
No, anything but suppression, right? I mean, right. We've had the largest turnout that we've ever had. We, for the first time ever, a significant percentage of that, absentee ballots, mail-in ballots, have typically been about 5% of the total vote count. They were about 30% this last year. And Barack Obama, John, got 85 to 89,000, somewhere in that range, of the absentee mail-in right. ballots. And Joe Biden got 850,000 absentee mail-in ballots. And I absolutely think that discrepancy, that questions need to be asked. And I think the state legislature and the governor did the right thing in passing a piece of legislation that said, hey, wait a minute. There's just something that doesn't look right with these numbers.
Right.
And we need to add some integrity to the absentee ballot process.
Yeah, and listen, it's still incredibly easy to vote in Georgia. It's just going to be harder to cheat. That's really the only change that was made. Do you think most voters look at this and say, wait a second, we went up a million voters in Georgia in the last election. We all support voter ID. 80% of Americans say they do. This guy's talking about it being Jim Crow 2.0. Do you think Biden is just missing his mark, that everyday Americans are scratching their heads saying, he should be focused on something else?
Yeah, they're trying to change the narrative from, you know, what is happening internationally with Afghanistan, what's happening internationally with Russia and the Ukraine,
right?
And what has happened with gas and fuel prices, and food prices, and there, you know, we have our economy still benefiting from the regulatory changes that President Trump made, the things that he did with Operation Warp Speed,
right?
And you know, I mean, he's had, you know, 12 months where he's been able to hang on to what President Trump did, and now you're moving past that, and he's not going to be able to, and so he's got to make up something to cry about, and it's elections now. So the vast majority of people want and believe that showing an ID is reasonable in our democracy just to make sure that the person is who they say they are when they vote. And I don't understand what their objection is to it.
Yeah. I mean, and African-American voters, they just had a poll come out in Michigan, 79% African-American voters supportive of it. In fact, they were more supportive than the general populace. You saw Rasmussen had a poll in the summer, same statistics. This is like wildly popular. Jimmy Carter was arguing for it 15 years ago. And for some reason, Joe Biden seems to be against it. It really is a remarkable moment. Now, I want to turn to something that we've been doing a lot here at Just the News on, and that is the possibility that there was some illegal harvesting going on in Georgia. The Secretary of State says that he's now received credible allegations, which include video footage, a whistleblower allegedly, and some phone records that might show the pattern. Do you think that's a good idea to have that investigation? And has there been suspicions about harvesting in the state before this thing surfaced?
Yeah, so I was suspicious when I looked at the total vote count. To move from 3.9 million votes, again, going back over the past decade, all the way back through Obama's last election, we've had 3.9 million voters in the state of Georgia. And then this last election, we had 4.9 million voters. That's a significant change to have a decade pattern of 3.9 million and to move up a full million votes over that. So I absolutely think it's reasonable and right. And if there is the evidence that is there, as it looks like there's got the good chance to be, then people need to go to prison for this.
Yeah.
One other thing, John, let me mention this. You know, David Perdue got put into a runoff by a few thousand votes. So you think about the difference in the dynamics of the Republicans have in the U.S. Senate right now.
Right.
If they find that fraud, if they're able to show that there are votes that should have been tossed out, you're talking about the difference in Republicans being in control of the U.S. Senate and Democrats being in control of the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, it's that consequential, right? It's that, yeah, it really is remarkable. You are part of a growing group, it looks like, of bipartisan lawmakers in Congress that are talking about reforming the Electoral Act. Talk a little bit about what you might like to achieve in such a reform.
Well, I think the main thing we want is open and honest elections. And so we want to make sure that people aren't voting in multiple states. I do believe that has happened. In fact, we know it's happened. There's some people that are going to jail for it right now that voted Republican in multiple states, correct?
Right.
Yep. And so the standard can't be that one party benefits from election laws and not the other. They need to be fair, and they need to be open, and they need to be accountable. And so our goal in any election law is to have the balance with both access and integrity. And if you don't have the integrity in the vote, then people aren't going to respect the vote. And if you don't have access to the vote, then people aren't going to respect the vote. So the goal is to find that balance with both access and integrity. Now that said, John, voting constitutionally, that's a state issue.
Right.
So we have to be very careful what we do in Congress, because I take an oath to the Constitution.
Right.
And we have to have respect for that Constitution. There is some advantage in having 50 different states that handle elections in different ways, and we can learn from the ones that have found that combination of both access and integrity. But ultimately, it pretty much is a state issue. So group of us wants to try to do what we can to make sure people respect the vote, but we have to respect the Constitution in whatever we draft.
And in your mind, that means letting the legislature still have the authority to set the rules, but maybe find a way to make the counting a little more trustworthy for people, right? Is that sort of the balancing act?
I would say that's right. I mean, we've got problems right now. I've had people, sit in my house that I've known in many, many years and cry because they no longer trust.
Yeah, that's a real dynamic.
The ballots. And look, I mean, if you look at what's happening around the world, I mean, we are the pillar of democracy around the world. And we have had more personal freedom, we have had more economic opportunity, and we've had more individual liberties because of being that pillar of democracy. And so we have to protect that pillar, and we have to protect it at home before we can expand it abroad. And so I would just say that, I wish President Trump were the president right now. We wouldn't be dealing with Russia and Ukraine the way we are. What the Democrats did up here in the whole Russian hoax investigation.
Right.
The idea that Vladimir Putin wanted Donald Trump to be the president of the United States is absolutely ridiculous. He wanted anybody but Donald Trump to be the president of the United States, and I can assure you Vladimir Putin wouldn't be looking at moving into the Ukraine right now if Donald Trump were still the president of the United States.
Yeah, that is and I want to turn to that in one second. I just want to wrap up one thing. As you look at the issues that we see today, it's, Biden came in with this promise, I'm going to unite the country, but it seems like fear, division, racial division are the only tactics and tools he's using. Are Americans starting to sour on that approach pretty quickly?
Oh, well, absolutely. If you look at the poll numbers that are out there today, I mean, he's got the lowest poll ratings anybody's ever had. And it's because he hasn't been able to really accomplish anything as president of the United States. And look, I'm an American. He's my president. I mean, I need the economy to be good. I need national security to be strong. But if you look at what he did in Afghanistan, if you look at his lack of response to Russia and the Ukraine, if you look at what's happening to Americans' pocketbooks, where they may be making a little more, but they're paying a lot more for their basic necessities.
Yeah.
Americans are very frustrated with where our country is right now. He promised to conduct himself in a bipartisan manner, and he's done anything but that. And honestly, John, people ought to go back and look at the votes that Donald Trump had on budget-related issues and other things,
right,
where he had about 75% of the people vote for the major pieces of legislation, both Democrats and Republicans, that he signed into law.
Yep, that's right. There were lots of big deals, whether it was on clean air, clean water, or budgetary things. There were a lot of things that moved through. This president seems to have no real ability to put a bipartisan coalition together. It's fascinating to watch. I want to turn to Russia. I've seen some amazing things in the last couple of days. For instance, leaks to CNN about specific intercepts of what the Russians were going to do. And I'm asking myself, what purpose is it to leak that if that is real intelligence, why would we leak that and let the enemy have any sense of what we know they're doing? How do you quarterback? Is Russia just the ultimate boogeyman? Do Democrats always have a Russia thing going on because it's a distraction? Or are we on the brink of a crisis and this president doesn't know how to deal with it?
No, I think this is real. Yeah. And when the Russians pulled their families out of the embassy
right.
in the Ukraine, that's an indicator to me
yes.
that they actually intend to do something very serious. If you look at Putin's history, again, 08, he invaded Georgia. 14, he invaded Crimea. He historically has done something during the Olympics. The Olympics are right around the corner. And I would tell you that the fact that they have removed the families of their embassy personnel is a very telling thing, John, that I hope people are paying attention to.
Yeah, it is a really serious issue. And when you look out now, I mean, there's been some efforts to Bennett, you know, to come in and maybe try to mediate. Putin isn't seem to show any interest in mediating right now. What levers do we have in this moment to try to keep him from doing something rash?
So we should have already passed economic sanctions.
Yeah.
We had sanctioned the Nord Stream 2 pipeline.
Right.
The Biden administration removed it. If you look at what they've done with fuel prices in the United States, that has put more money into the hands of people like Vladimir Putin. We have, I think, at the whole level of government, State Department and in the White House, I think ignored the fact that Vladimir Putin is Vladimir Putin. And you can't negotiate or shake hands with this guy and think that he's going to do what he tells you he's going to do.
Yep.
08, he invaded Georgia.
Right.
14, he took Crimea. He hasn't given any of those pieces back, and he hasn't paid a price for what he did.
Yeah.
And so the one thing I do want to point out to people is, and while I say we can and should do a better job of taking care of the environment, if you allow your energy dependency, if you allow your energy dependency to fall into the hands of your enemy, it makes it very, very hard to achieve it again.
Yeah.
So I'm very worried about what happens with Russia and Crimea.
Yeah. And you're really worried about the beginning of this Biden administration, right? Stopping the Trans-Canada pipeline, approving the Russian pipeline through Europe. That changed the geopolitical leverage we had on Russia. Isn't that true?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And look, I mean, what third grader couldn't see that?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. It is. It's such a basic thing. And you really are for sanctions. Do you think there's enough sentiment in Congress to approve sanctions? And are you surprised Biden hasn't asked for them yet?
I'm surprised that he hasn't already enacted them. I think that they have to be not just the United States. I think that it has to be NATO and ally wide.
Yep.
And we have to make Putin understand that the cost of taking any territory in the Ukraine is more than it's worth to him. Unfortunately, nobody has made him pay that price. They didn't make him pay it in 08. They didn't make him pay it in 14, and he doesn't think he'll pay it now.
Yeah. In fact, he got a reboot when the Obama administration came in. He got a lot of goods from Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and he just gathered them up and didn't do anything for the United States. Pretty remarkable. Congressman, it's an honor to have you on this show. You always share a lot of wisdom. I can't wait to get you back on soon.
Hey, thanks, John.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up for the day. Hey, folks, if you're a homeowner and you're like me, you want to protect your home, right? But when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, listen to this. A new report on homeowners shows we all now have $16 trillion in equity. That's an all-time high in America. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing. That's when the equity in all of our homes is the target, sadly, of scammers. If nobody's watching the title to your home, these scammers can transfer your title to their name, take out loans, and your equity could be gone. Poof, gone. You have to protect your equity from this despicable crime right now with triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS. They're going to send you a complete title scan of your home's title and your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection. That's legendary protection, by the way. It's free. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, go to HomeTitleLock.com today and protect your most important asset, the equity in your home. Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right, you heard me right. 4 years for 30 bucks. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special, 4 years for $30, and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. So blessed to have you. So blessed to enjoy your company, your readership on our site. Now, before you go, I always like to point out some of the great partnerships we have. Why? Because these partnerships make available to you the opportunity to check out services and products that are amazing from people who support our mission at Just the News and John Solomon Reports. And you get a discount, you save money, you get a good deal. That is a good deal, right? I love that. I'm proud of that. And so I try to share as often as possible whenever one of our partners is offering something special to our Just the News, John Solomon Reports family. And today, our good partner that I want to call out and shout out is Annie's Kit Clubs. I love this company. I love its mission. I love its products. We've had them at my house, the Solomon family house. They have different crafting projects from everybody from your littlest child to all of us adults looking to do something on our free time, knitting, crocheting, woodworking. Now they've got a chance. Remember, we're done with the holidays, a new year, we're back to school, we're back to learning, and you're sitting at home, it's the winter months, you're like, what can I do to keep the kids engaged and interested and maybe learning? Well, I'll tell you what, Annie's Kit Clubs has a solution. It's called the Genius Box. I love this name. I want a Genius Box. I'm never going to be a genius, but I want the Genius Box anyways. Here's what it is. Each month, you can, when you subscribe to this product, you get your curious kids a new box bursting with three, not one, not two, but three hands-on activities to explore exciting STEM themes, science and technology, education, you know all this. You can design a hovercraft, examine fossils, build robots, so much more. You know what? I got to admit, I know these are for kids, but I think I might have some fun. I might cut in on the nieces and nephews on this one. It's so great. This is a brand new, great product. Go check it out at annieskitclub.com. Go to annieskitclub.com/justnews. Check out the Genius Box. Great thing for the kids, the grandkids, nephews and nieces. Learning, that's fun. Engagement for the whole family, entertaining, something to show when you're done, accomplishment, and you're going to be teaching your child in the process. Great products, great company, Annie's Kit Club. Here's what you do. Use Just News as the code or go to annieskitclub.com/justnews to check out the incredible Genius Box new product. Your kids, your grandkids, your nephews and nieces, heck, you might even like it. Go check it out today. All right, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. May God bless you. May God bless this extraordinary country of the United States. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with a whole bunch more news and some more great guests. God bless and good night.
Hey there, it's Amanda Head, and I am thrilled to introduce to you my new exciting podcast, Furthermore with Amanda Head, broadcasting weekly from sunny Los Angeles, California, and brought to you by the dynamic Just the News Podcast Network. On this fresh and engaging podcast, I delve into the latest news with a little bit of a twist, exploring the furthermore of every story. But this isn't your typical run-of-the-mill news commentary or politically charged program. I interview a diverse range of guests, including business leaders, entertainers, musicians, educators, experts, politicians, and many influential figures from both the United States and around the world. So why not make your Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays a little more interesting? Tune in on your preferred podcast platform and discover Furthermore with Amanda Head on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And don't forget to hit that follow or subscribe button and be sure to download the latest episodes. I can't wait to have you join me on this exciting journey.